Daylight. We take it for granted, don't we? We've just gone through the twice annual ritual of British summertime. Don't let me start on that, I'll go on for ages. Why Greenwich Mean Time isn't good enough for us all the year round, I don't understand. It doesn't give us any more light, it just moves it around in the day, that's all. And if some people want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, well, good luck to them, and I'll stay in my bed. But we just assume that it will get light in the mornings, that's just we assume that it'll get dark at night. And when it does get dark, we just press the switch and on comes the electric light. We can't imagine it not happening. Just occasionally, in remote places like Long Stanton, where I live, the electricity fails. And we're suddenly plunged into darkness. And we have to struggle around and look for a torch or for a candle or something. And horror of horrors, the television screen goes blank. And we don't know what to do. Because it's always there. It's always there for us. But of course it's not worldwide. And there are places where electricity is just something they hear about. And maybe even not that. But that little thing that heats up a little piece of wire and glows to give us light, we don't even think about how it happens or what makes it work. It's just there. And we press the switch and it happens. Or we're being made to think about long life bulbs and all that goes with that. And we look at our light fittings and wonder how on earth we're going to get a long life bulb to fit into that. And then we go out and spend a small fortune on long life bulbs and then discover that they're not long life at all. I spoke to my electrician friend about that, you see, and I said these long life bulbs, they don't last very long. It said on the box that they lasted for 10 years and after a couple of years they fail. Ah, he said, what they don't tell you is if you want them to last for 10 years, you have to leave them switched on all the time. And if you switch them on and off, that shortens their life. So long life is an expression. And then if the lights fail, we can rely on a torch. And most of us have torches if we've remembered to buy the batteries. But light isn't just something to illuminate the place, as these lights do, as street lamps do, and so on. We use light for our projectors in order to project pictures onto the wall. We use the projectors to educate and to inform. And the light source brings us information. But of course, that can be abused and can be used for wrong means. And then, of course, there's another form of light. There's flash lighting. Sorry, don't you agree with that? Flash photography, and it affects some people badly. We understand that if people are prone to epilepsy, then flash photography can have a bad effect on them. And then another form of flash lighting is lightning, of which we're all a little bit fearful because of the immense power that's unleashed in a bolt of lightning. All of these are light that are produced and what we think of when we think of light. But we use the word in other terms. We talk about shedding light. Shedding light on a particular subject. In other words, explaining what it means. Giving us understanding. Teachers and trainers are in the business of shedding light. Of bringing information to us and teaching us about different things. And by the light that they shed, we learn, and then we in turn pass that on. We shed the light to others and bring that intelligence and understanding to other people. Why am I talking about all this? Well, in that Bible passage that we read there, it said, "You are sons and daughters of the light." What does that mean? You are sons and daughters of the light. We have no control over daylight. Yeah, maybe we can operate a switch and switch light on or off, provided the electricity is there in the first place, and we have no control over that. It can't mean physical light as we understand it. No, it's shedding the light. It's shedding the light of the gospel message. We've been given that light. That intelligence has been brought to us, and we've been given the understanding so that we can know what the gospel message is, the salvation that it brings. And that gives us the responsibility to pass it on. As sons and daughters of the light, it's not something we keep to ourselves. Jesus talked about you don't light a lantern and then put a cover over it so nobody can see. You hold it up so that everybody can see. And if we received that light of the gospel, that understanding that comes from God, it is our responsibility to pass that on to everybody. Not even to be selective about it, but to simply spread it around. Sons and daughters of light have the responsibility of shedding that light on others and bringing that understanding to them. And then, of course, the writer of this letter brings out the contrast between darkness and light. Now, I'm told that most crimes are committed at night. People like to be under cover of darkness. I was having a little chat with my neighbour over the fence last week. He was putting up a light outside his bungalow. And we were talking about these security lights. When we were burgled some years ago, I said to the policeman, would it help if I put up a security light? And he said, well, the thieves would be grateful. It would help them to see what they're doing. But of course, the actual fact is that when the light comes on, it's disturbing, it's unnerving, it's frightening to someone who is doing something that they don't want to be seen, who are performing deeds of evil and want them covered up. And so we associate darkness with evil and with crime. And light is good. The contrast in this letter to the church in Thessalonica is talking about the contrast between the darkness which covers evil deeds and the light which shows up the good things in the world. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the source of light to the world. Now, he didn't mean that he's a big street lamp that sends out a great ray that covers the whole world. Of course he didn't. He meant that he brings the word of God that sheds light into our lives. The light of the world revealing good, which is God. Jesus was revealing God to us, and in him we see what God is like. Jesus is the light. And as sons and daughters of the light, we are his children. So therefore that responsibility is passed on to each one of us. And we have that responsibility of shedding that light to others. As sons and daughters of the light, we need to share that light with others. I'm going to sing another song. Do you like surprises? I do. I really like surprises. But the downside of surprises is that you don't get the looking forward, do you? And very often, pleasures that are anticipated, there's as much pleasure in the anticipation as there is in the event itself. I would like to be looking forward to going to Moscow. Now you might wonder, why Moscow? Well, of course, Chelsea are going to beat Manchester United in Moscow on May the 21st. Now there are a couple of little problems about getting there. £1,200 for a ticket, £900 for an airfare, £500 per night for a hotel if you can get one. But these pale into significance when you think of the fact that it's on May the 21st, which is my wife's birthday. So Moscow is out. But it would be nice to be looking forward, for me anyway, to going to Moscow. But maybe coming back down to earth, you're looking forward to your holiday. Possibly you've planned a holiday this year and you're looking forward to it. And a lot of the joy is in the anticipation. Even though the holiday itself might be a disappointment, we have all the looking forward and the expectation. And of course, one of the things about these is that we know exactly when it's going to happen. We know the date, so we can count down the days. You'll see in your free Baptist times, I had to pay for mine, but in your free Baptist times this week, you'll see a letter there from somebody about national service and saying what a good thing it was and how much he enjoyed his national service. I don't believe a word of it. I've never met anybody that enjoyed national service, me included. And the whole point about national service was that you knew when your demob date was and you counted down the days. And you would see people with charts on the wall, and each day they would cross off another day. It was that nearer to the demobilisation. It's looking forward to the date. So sometimes looking forward to the date can be a great pleasure, and sometimes it helps unpleasant experiences to pass, because we know that the time is limited. We know when it's going to happen. Now, the Bible is all about looking forward. And the Old Testament was all about anticipating the coming of the Messiah. The problem was they didn't know the date. They didn't know when it was going to happen. And because that produces its own difficulties, especially when the time goes on and on. Long time waiting dulls expectation. I had to go to the doctor's yesterday morning. Yes, Saturday morning. Camdoc in Chesterton. I sat there for 2.5 hours. Not just me, lots of other people as well. And after a couple of hours, the pain was going away, and I thought, I'm feeling better. I'm not going to stay here any longer. I'm going to go. Because I thought, if I do that, 2 hours have been totally wasted for nothing. And as soon as I get outside, the pain will come back. And so I hung on. But you see, when we're waiting for an event and we don't know how long it will be, and we've no idea when we'll be called, as I hadn't yesterday morning, then our expectation is dulled and our thoughts become a bit addled, don't they? And that was the case with the Old Testament people waiting for the coming of the Messiah. They formulated ideas. They had their own expectation. They began to build on it and to think of ways in which God might work. They had their own ideas. And consequently, when Jesus did come, they didn't recognize him, because they'd formed a picture of what he'd be like. You see, now, before the service, I had a bit of inside information. You see, before the service, David told me that you'd already called your new minister, a lady called Kate Lees. Now, I've never seen Kate Lees, so I have my own picture of what she looks like. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But you see, when I meet her, I'm sure she'll be nothing like that. We have our own idea of it. Our search group at Willingham, we met with a prospective minister, and he's coming to take our services. I couldn't be there. So I know an awful lot about this man, but I've no idea what he looks like. And I've got my own mental picture of what he looks like. And if I meet him in the street, I won't know him, because he won't look like the one I'm expecting. And that's what happened with the Messiah. When Jesus came, he didn't fit into their imagination. He didn't fit into the people, not even the learned church leaders. And there was only a few people. There was only a few people that were open to him. People like Simeon. People like Anna. People like the three wise men. There were very few people that actually recognized Jesus as the Messiah when he came. Now, of course, when we move into the New Testament, we move into another looking forward bit, the looking forward to the return of Jesus. Last Thursday was Ascension Day. How many people knew that? Yeah, well, I guess there wouldn't be too many. You see, we don't make a big thing about it in Baptist churches, Ascension Day. But it was the day when we remember that Jesus went back up into heaven. And if you read about that in Acts chapter 1, you'll read there in verse 11 that there were two angels that stood with the disciples as they were looking up into heaven, and those two angels said, "What are you looking up into heaven for? This same Jesus will come again in like manner." And they believed them. Well, you would have believed them if you'd have been there, but they thought, later on today, tomorrow, or next week, or certainly before the end of the month anyway. And that's what the disciples thought. And throughout the early chapters of the New Testament, we read that people were expecting Jesus to return almost immediately, almost instantly. And of course he didn't. And now it's 2,000 years later, and he still hasn't come back. So what happens? Well, we're back into the Old Testament thinking. We have our own ideas. We have our own picture of what it will be like. And we have our own imagination. But the important thing to remember is, one, that the promise is true, that Jesus is coming again. He will come back. The important thing is that we believe it. And the important thing is that we are ready for it whenever it happens, because it could be at any time. Well, of course, we don't really think that. I mean, if I said Jesus could come before 12 o'clock today, you wouldn't believe me. Why not? Why not? Because the Bible says, quite clearly, the only person that knows is the Father. And it could be at any moment, at any time. Would you be ready? Would you be ready? You see, you're thinking, my goodness, if he comes at 12 o'clock, the dinner will be burnt, won't it? That'll all be spoiled for a start. And what sort of a mess have I left? If I'm caught up into the heavens, what are the neighbours going to think when they go into my house and see all the breakfast washing up still on the table? You know, that's the way we think, you see. Okay, we want you to come again, Jesus, but at a convenient time, give us a bit of notice. Give us some warning. It won't be like that. I don't know whether you noticed, but twice in that reading, at the end of chapter 4 and again in verse 11 of chapter 5, it says the same thing. Let me remind you of what it says. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You see, we need to keep reminding each other, Jesus is coming again. We need to be ready. And when we begin to think, well, of course it won't be in my lifetime, we need to be encouraged in that. We need to be reminded that it might be, that he will return. And we need to live for that day. We need to concentrate on that promise that Jesus is coming back. And we need to remember that all the troubles in this life will disappear when he does. That whether we are here when he comes again or whether we've already passed on into his presence, this life is just the preamble, the beginning. And we need to take the eternal view. There's a reference there to childbirth. I have to admit that I have no first-hand knowledge of childbirth. If I had, I'd be a millionaire. But I understand, and this is scriptural, that the pains and the labours of childbirth ultimately are worth it to have that new life placed into your hands. The nearest I can get to it is going to the dentist. I'm terrified of dentists, I really am. So why do I go? Because I know that if I suffer the pain that I have in the dentist chair, life will be better afterwards. And the scripture is anxious to tell us that if we put up with the problems that we have in this life and still cling to Jesus and still carry on shedding that light and sharing it around, then ultimately things are going to be fantastic. Things are going to be wonderful. And whether it's when Jesus comes again or whether we're caught up to be with him before then, it's going to be worth it. We can't imagine what heaven is like. Eye hasn't seen and ear has not heard what heaven is like, we're told in Corinthians. We cannot understand what it is that God has got for us. But because we haven't got a date for it to happen, doesn't mean we can't look forward to it. That doesn't mean we can't be working towards it and building up on it. I use the analogy of looking forward to our holidays. If we're looking forward to our holiday, we plan for it. We work out what clothes we'll need to take this. What particular luggage we'll be taking, depending where it is, and all the other things that we need. We work towards that. And if we're looking forward to the coming again of Jesus, we need to be planning for it and working to that. One day we will see him, and one day we will be with him. We need to be ready. We need to be encouraged, and we need to encourage one another, building one another up as the day approaches.